Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate or give it to an usher. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon. At the 3:30 Bible class this afternoon, Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the search to find in the scriptures the answer to the question, should women be biblical leaders over men? Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 99, verse 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 62, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let us continue our worship with hymn number 125, Jesus Paid It All. Mm-hmm. Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 461, Oh, It Is Wonderful.
Remain standing for prayer. Father, King David, at the end of a journey, long journey in victory, he wrote these words, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above. And that's what we are doing this morning, Father. We're exalting the name of our mighty God, Jehovah, the God of Israel, the God that in gentleness and kindness and mercy and in grace extended his kingdom to the Gentiles that we are. Oh, Father, thank you for the work of Christ who unite us with the Jewish people in one heart and in one mind to belong to the kingdom of God. Father, we are worshiping you today here in Morgan Hill in California. And by the miracle that you allow people to discover and apply, we are in many homes across America and across the world, and we are blessed in communicating to these people the blessedness of a mighty Savior who wrote the book so that we can understand you and follow you. Lord, as a church body here in Morgan Hill and the extended church through the ministry of radio and internet and tape ministry and CD ministry, we have people who need the hand of mercy and touch from you. And came to my mind, first and the least, Jerry West, who is in Costa Rica. And this Thursday, the 7th, he will be in Houston under examination and exploration work on his body. Lord, show Jerry your mighty power and your healing power. Lord, we pray for our wonderful lady Loretta Forrest, who is restful, waiting for that moment when you bring her into your presence. Thank you for her spirit and her love. Lord, we are thankful to see this morning in the church building the Menix family after a tough flight to Switzerland to visit with Helen's brother who is sick. And Father, we pray that your hand and your illumination and your power be upon this man. Lord, we pray for Chuck Mayer. He has been under infection and difficulties, and I heard that he is much better. And so, Father, thank you for having mercy, and thank you for the recovery. And we have some people in vacation. Jack and Mary Cassangen are making the trip back at the end of this coming week home, and we've missed them for so long. And, Father, thank you that he took a wonderful trip to rest and to enjoy with his wife. And Barbara Rodenbeck is in Chicago and is flying back this week, also home. And we are blessed to see that our people can take a rest and then be back into our activities. Father, we are proud to have men in the Air Force and the Navy and in the Army who are willing to put their life on our behalf. And so, Father, we are grateful for those who have died. And we celebrate the Memorial Day in memory of those men who went into the service to serve their country. And they did it all the way. They are no longer here, but their memories and their pride is our pride and our memory. Lord, we thank you for our missionaries. They are like soldiers. Fred and Carol Lewis, and Carol on the recovery and surgery, and Fred recovering every day a little more. And now praying that you will show him the new ministry in his life. For Carl and Ruth Knott, who are in Seville, Spain. For Eusebio and Marixa Perez in Malaga, Spain. For David and Denise Rode in Papua, New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendaño in Guatemala, Central America. Marta Faretti on the Rehabilitation Center in Buenos Aires, Argentina. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the midst of a storm there in Gilroy, California. The Christian Athletic Association in San Jose to wrap up young people and what they do best, sports, and then telling them about Jesus. Then Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministry, Daniel flying tomorrow back home after a long weekend away from home. So thank you, Father, that you not only allow us to bring the gospel through radio and internet and tapes and CDs, but you allow us to extend our church through the life of these missionaries. And we look forward, Lord, to get more missionaries. So that's what the church is for. That's why we put the money in this church, to get the gospel going so that you will come sooner. Thank you, Lord, for the good spirit of your people. Thank you that they gave sacrificially. Thank you, Lord, they know that the ministry of this church is Christ and the love of Christ. Lord, we have made the love of Christ the center of our church. We judge nobody. We accuse nobody. We just offer to people the best thing we have, Jesus our Lord. So thank you, Father, for the giving. Thank you for the offering. Thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews. Points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. God, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, and our God, we are eternally grateful for the great privilege of coming into your presence because of the life and work of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of faith that all you have done and promised, we believe, just as it is written in your word. We thank you that the Lord Jesus was raised, ascended, and sits at your right hand, where he ministers on our behalf as our eternal high priest. We thank you for such wonderful knowledge. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and compassion, and love for sinners such as we are. We pray now that you would bless your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to bring the good news from the Scriptures. We pray for all of us who are listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we will apply the knowledge and wisdom that we learn to all that we do and think. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Once again, we are encouraging you to take your Bible to the book of Hebrews this morning. We're going to make a parenthesis in the book of Proverbs. Each time we come to the first Sunday of the month, I like to explain what the Lord's Supper really is so that you participate with the fullness of knowledge. And if you are not participating, then you know the reason why perhaps you are not participating. This is the second sermon on the series on the Lord's Supper. And you remember last month our sermon was Christ on Passover in 1 Corinthians 5:7. We relate in the study how the Jewish people, God have given them a sign through the Passover in Exodus 12 that they will be redeemed. And they were redeemed. And that was a picture of the things that happened in the New Testament to Christ Jesus. Now, our attention today is going to be focused on one verse in chapter 4, in verse 14, please, of your Bible. I'm going to read it and then develop the thoughts. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. And each time we refer to Hebrews 4, will be page 705 in the Bethel Bible. The Bible reads, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." I'm just going to focus now as an introduction to the development and how Christ's priesthood relates to the old Hebrew priesthood and to us. Before I do that, I want to call your attention to something that's very popular in America. You heard the word mega church. That means a church that has more than 2,000 or 3,000 people. In Korea, there is a mega church of close to 50,000 people. Is that right? The big in a stadium. I heard the speaker talking one time in Los Angeles. There is a mega superstore. You drive highway 680 and buy milpitas. You have a big sign over there on the mega superstores over there. And so mega means what? Large, super large, impressive. Now that's the word used here. See? Seeing then, that's a Greek word, mega, means super big. Seeing then that we have a mega high priest, not just one among the others high priests, but one above the others high priest, who covered all the requirements of the priesthood, a mega high priest. Now, I just want to have a reminder also for you before, on the first Sunday is deep Bible study, and so I had to remind a few things so they are prerequisite to you understanding. Now, a prophet, the word prophet, identify an individual who speaks from God to his people as a prophet. And as you remember, in Ephesians 2, said those prophets are the foundation of the church, which we have here in the Old Testament. And so when you make a building, you lay the foundation only once. So we don't have prophets today. If somebody come to you today and said, "Let me prophesy about you," that person is confused or is ignorant or doesn't know what God said. Now, if you think that by me reading the scripture, I'm prophesying to you what God said, well, that is true. But when you read the scripture back to me, then you become a prophet to me. You see that? But the technical word or the word prophet, nobody can say, "Let me see, let me dream, and then I will have a revelation for you." Nobody can have that, even though there are people who are assuming that. The Bible said that that credential, that work is not necessary. It's not that God don't want people to do that. It's not necessary because God has completed his revelation. That's why. So a prophet speaks from God to his people. Now a priest speaks to God on behalf of his people. So God, a certain point, you remember, in Exodus said, "I will not talk to these people directly. I will talk to you, Moses, and you will talk to these people." See, sin cuts privilege from us. And one of the privileges is that God does not speak directly to us. God speaks through his intercessor. And as I'm going to go through the scripture, in Exodus 28, God said, all right, here is my mercy. I will select a man who did not qualify at all, but God made him qualify. I will select a man, and through him and his family, I will speak to Israel. And when Israel want to talk to me, as him and his family come into the Holy of Holies and talk to me. And so that's called a priest, a high priest. All right? Are you ready? We're going to go through the Bible and understand the Hebrew priesthood, which is the true priesthood, and Jesus' priesthood, and see where one come from and where the other come from, and what all of these have to do with us and with the Lord's Supper this morning. All right? Here we are. Number one, a high priest need to be divinely appointed. Israel choose all the priests, but God only choose the high priest. Will you turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 28, verse 1, page 54, second book of the Bible, Exodus, chapter 28 and verse 1. This is where the priesthood starts. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 1. I said that the first point in the priesthood is that a high priest, the Roman Catholic people will call a pope, all right? A high priest, someone who is on the top, all right? Someone who talks to God directly, need to be divinely appointed. Look at here, Exodus 28, verse 1. God is speaking to Moses, and this is what God said. And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's son. So God, at a given time in history, said to Moses, all right, Moses, I'm going to choose this man, your brother, to be the high priest for Israel. I want you now to compare that, because with the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 5, and in verse 5, page 705, Hebrews 5, in verse 5, I want you to compare that, because the Bible certify clearly that Jesus did not declare by himself the high priest. Look at what the Bible said in Hebrews 5 and in verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. Now that's a very philosophical, poetical way to say that God did it. But I'm going to show you that sentence came out of the mouth of God. Who appointed Jesus as a high priest? The one who said, thou art my son. Now, put one hand here then and go to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 3, please. Verse 16 and 17, page 562. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. And you will see who is the one who said, thou art my son. Here is the scripture. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lightning upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. As you see, now we have a picture together and the lock together of the understanding. The high priest need to be appointed by God. In the Old Testament, we had a direct statement made to Moses. Now choose your son, your brother. He will be the high priest. In the New Testament, we have an indirect statement saying Jesus do not glorify himself. Don't took the office by himself. No board of cardinals bought Jesus as a high priest, no board of apostles bought Jesus, vote for Jesus as a high priest. No institution like the church growing up have a vote. It was, okay, we're going to select the high priest. It was God himself, exactly as the Old Testament. So a high priest need to be divinely appointed. Now, number two, a high priest need to be human. That's very interesting. And at the end of the sermon, you will know why. Need to be human. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 28. Now, verse 2. The high priest need to be a human being. All right? And look at what God said to Moses in verse 2 in Exodus 28. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother. Now, was Moses human? Yes, he was. So God said, get your brother. So a high priest is not an angel. A high priest is not a human person from another planet. A high priest is just a brother of somebody else. Has to be human. Needs to be human. All right, let's go to now to the book of Hebrews again. I hope you keep a hand over there on chapter 2, please, on the book of Hebrews and on verse 17. And let's see in reference to Christ. I make some words changes to clarify from the original, but I promise I'll be slow with the King James slow reading. Wherefore, said verse 17, in every respect, the King James said, all things it behoved, in every respect, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now, one of the doctrines of Roman Catholicism is that Jesus had no brothers. Then, if Jesus had no brothers, then I cannot identify Jesus as human. Jesus was supernatural in the fact that he was born of a woman, but not of the Father. The Holy Spirit provide the ignition of that birth, not a man. But then after, Mary was not divine. She was human. And Joseph was human. And they love each other. And they have many children, like the Gospel of Mark said. And now that proves that Jesus was human. Look at, again, verse 17. Wherefore, in every respect, he had to be made like his brethren. In other words, when Jesus was born, he was not a man from another planet. He was a man like you and me. He was a brethren. So he qualified to be the high priest. As a matter of fact, the verse 17 said, so that he is the high priest. In other words, it's not that God brought somebody from heaven here. No way. He just got Jesus just as human. You will see why in a minute. All right, number three, a high priest need to be sympathetic. Have you been in high school? Well, you all been in high school and college. And I'm outspoken. You have to put something in my mouth, but I talk all the time. And so when I was in school, that happened. I have an architecture class. And the architect who taught the class was a famous man, famous airport designer. And he was teaching the graduate class in engineering how to design pavements and things for planes and how to make it beautiful. And we want to tell him that he's wrong. It's not the beauty of the pavement, it's the strength. So the plane can be there, but he wanted to make, you know, architects, they want to make flowers here and flowers there and so on. And, but he was a tough man. He was not sympathetic. And at that time, we don't have computers. So we had to do everything by hand, all the things. those who are old, Dr. McCormick was an engineer before, so slight rules for calculation and things like that. And people work hard, and they will submit the drawing to him, and he had no time to go home and review. So right there, he stretched everything on the university, and he will look for points, and the scale is 1 to 10 in other countries. Here in America, it's 1 to 100. And he will give the guys 5 or 6. Now, that's no passing. You have to pass with 9 in graduate school or you're gone. And so I went over there, and I looked, the drawings were good. So I said, Greensfield was his name. Architect Greensfield. Look at this. This man has put a lot of efforts here. And he said, well, yeah, I think so. Well, Gabriel, come in here. What do you think? I said, I think you deserve an 8. Oh, yeah, yes, sir, an 8. So nobody submit drawings unless it was in the class, because I was encouraging the guy to be sympathetic with the guy who did the efforts. Sympathetic, you know. My mother was sympathetic, but too strict. You know, you're like that. My grandmother, she had the old Palestinian scare. Come on, my little thing, go over there. I can ask anything to grandma. And she listened to me, and she know what I want. Sympathetic. You know, somebody you can go and talk to. Now, I became a sympathetic man. Well, I want to give you a secret. In Family Radio, where I worked for 29 years, I'm not an administrator. I know an administration office. I was a management man, second man to the command, but I had nothing to do with accounting, nothing to do with this. But when one of the managers wants to raise the salary of somebody, he will come to me. So, you know, I have a great worker. Oh, how wonderful. He said, and a guy is putting a lot of effort. So fantastic. He said, that's good. What's his name? So-and-so. Well, let's give a raise. I said, let's give $1. Oh, God, thank you very much. $1 an hour. And then I will take the paper to the chief, and I will negotiate with him, you know. Because he also was a very kind man, but they were afraid of him, you know. And I said, Harold, this guy need a raise. Really? Well, make it 50 cents. No, Harold, this guy need $1. And I can negotiate with him and I enjoy it, each other. I don't think he enjoy it too. And the guy got, but if one of the managers will go, boom, nobody get a raise. And I don't know why. And still today, when somebody wanted to call me, say, Gabriel, will you call me, say, Gabriel, and tell him to do this? I said, I'm no longer an employee, but if you call, he follow. Sympathetic. You got the sympathy of people. Now, look at the verse. A high priest need to be sympathetic. All right? I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 63. I'm very sorry. I do not have the page number, but Isaiah is a familiar book to you. I give you time. Isaiah 63. And look with me on verse 9. Isaiah 63, verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. Talking about Jesus now in prophecy. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his piety, he redeemed them. And he buried them and carried them all the days of old. It's talking about the grace of God upon the people of Israel. God was sympathetic. He knew those people were not perfect. He knew those people cannot fulfill the law to the T. And so he granted his sympathy to them. So a high priest cannot say, oh, okay, you sin, the law say this. I say, you don't make it. Can't. Now let's go to the New Testament and go to the verses that you read, that our brother read, chapter 4, verse 14. And verse 15, and you will see that the Bible explicitly said for a reason that Jesus is sympathetic, so that you are not afraid of Jesus. Look at what the Bible says. Seeing then that we have a mega high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now look at verse 15. For we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize. That's the word, be touched with our infirmity. Cannot sympathize with our weakness. But was in all points tempted like us we are, yet without sin. Even though Jesus was without sin. Even Jesus was perfect. He expected perfection, but he did not demand perfection. It makes you really a nice guy to talk to. You know that somebody is holy, super holy, or holy, but you can go with your problem, and doesn't matter if you fail, he's there for you. That means sympathetic. Jesus is there for you. There is no a big problem for him. There is no a big sin for him. There is no, I failed 20 times. The Bible said the righteous will fall 7 times, I mean continually, and raise up 7 times. Because of him. He's not judging you at this time. He's not judging you and putting you down. He's saying, well, I know your problem. I have been tempted like this, but remember, he was not with sin. All right? So a high priest needs to be sympathetic. It's no one who called the books on you. Oh, I say, and throw the books on you, say, oh, you're wrong here, you're wrong here, goodbye. You do not belong anymore. You can go to Christ. Even if you don't know him, you can go to him and say, high priest, it's me, full of sin. Say, I know. You don't have to spell it. Just ask for forgiveness. That's what it is. A high priest need to be sympathetic. A high priest need to be forever, eternal. Forever. Wow. Wow. Let's go to Genesis chapter 14. First book of the Bible. You remember here the story of Abraham. I know you remember this. Genesis 14. And I'm going to read verse 16 to 20 for here. All right. Genesis chapter 14, verse 16 to 20. And he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot. Remember when Lot was caught by the Arabs? Abraham went and got him back, said the Bible. And his good, and the women also, and the people. Amazing, Abraham, so soft and so tender, so firm when things were called. He brought all his people. And the kings of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him and the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought for bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heavens and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Now, Melchizedek was not from Aaron, the high priest. The line of priesthood came from Aaron in Israel. But out of the blue come this guy, Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? Go to the book of Hebrews, now in chapter 7, and I'm going to read you verses 1 to 3, and you know who is this Melchizedek. All right? Now, if Jesus was from the line of Aaron, there will be no resurrection. Jesus will be a dead man. Because Aaron was as human as can be. But because Jesus is not from the line of Aaron priesthood, he is divine. Look at verse 1 in Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who made Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings of the, and blessed him. That's a reference to Genesis 14. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. See, that's what we get the idea. Before the law, we give 10% to the Lord, all right? That's very important. First, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, Salem peace, which is king of peace, without, look at this Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided in the priest continually. That was the pre-incarnate presence of the Lord Jesus on Abraham. That's what we call in theology the pre-incarnate presence. Only one man fit the boat, Jesus Christ. Now, when you go in your Bible to Hebrews 6 in verse 20, The Bible says this. Whither the forerunner is for us enter, even Jesus made a high priest forever after what? The order of Melchizedek. In other words, Jesus' priesthood did not belong to Aaron's priesthood. So Jesus, in the essence of his priesthood, the background of his priesthood, is a priesthood that is eternally forever. He is forever. And so whatever a person that is forever does is forever. All right? In other words, if Jesus is going to heaven, he's going to heaven forever. Whatever Jesus does is a final, is completed. Now, I want to call your attention why the Lord's Supper, we do the Lord's Supper in this manner. Hebrews 10 and verse 10. Now, Jesus is a priest from the order of Melchizedek. And remember what Jesus did. It's not that the Romans killed him. He offered his body. Remember the history of the Gospels that Jesus said, it is my time to return to Jerusalem. They don't find him and kill him. He make available himself to be killed. He offered himself. Now look at here, because he is forever, look at verse 10. He said, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering on the body of Jesus Christ once for all. See, the Lord's Supper is not the offering on the body of Christ like a regular priest will do. The Lord's Supper is the remembrance, Paul said, of the offering on the body of Christ. Because he did it once for all. It's forever. Only him can do it. Aaron cannot do it once for all. Aaron had to every year do it. His children who follow Aaron had to do the offering every year. But no Christ. He did it once for all. So Jesus Christ is a priest of eternal quality. Number five, a high priest need to make a perfect provision. A perfect provision. Look at in Numbers now, chapter 25, page 107. Numbers, chapter 25. A perfect provision. A very important issue, because God will not accept anything else if it's not perfect. May I read verses 10 to 13 in Numbers chapter 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, have turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was jealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, verse 13, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now, these priests, according to verse 11, Phinehas, Israel was in trouble. Israel disobeyed God. Israel is going to get God really mad. And God, when you get God really mad that you do not repent of your sin, you are heading on for some discipline. And God is ready to discipline Israel. But the high priest, Phinehas, he went, the grandson of Aaron, he went and made the proper offering, perfect as God required, and God said, I'm pleased. Here is one guy who does what I said. That's what God wants. God wants these little girls to obey mama. And if they obey mama, God is happy. God wants this big boy Anthony to obey the parents. All right? And if he obeyed the parents, God is happy. And when you get God happy on your side, man, that's power. Now, let's look to chapter 4 in Hebrews, verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly, said the King James. I will say, come with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so, what God is saying is, you got a provision. That's what we pray in this church on Wednesday night. We got a provision. And the provision is that we can go to the throne of grace. You cannot go on your own. As an unbeliever, you cannot say, God, I want a car, I want this, I want the other. God says, no hearing you. Let me tell you the truth. God only hear, God be merciful unto me, a sinner, if you're an unbeliever. But if you're a believer, you come to God with boldness, with confidence to the throne of God. He is going to hear you because of Jesus. The best tool a Christian have is not his Bible knowledge, is his prayer life. Prayer life. Bible knowledge will lead you to pray, will humble you. We are nobody. You read the Bible and more you pray. Privately, publicly, whatever. And so the high priest need to be make a perfect sacrifice. And so because God, Christ was perfect and he was eternal, God is very pleased. In the same way that God was pleased with Phinehas when he presented a perfect sacrifice, God is pleased with Christ because he presented a perfect sacrifice. What's the lesson? What's the lesson? Now, for Christians, this is for Christians. If you want to become a Christian, you talk to me later. But this is for Christians. Turn your Bible to Romans 5:1. Here's the lesson. Here's the lesson today. Because